The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
Market-moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. That's the name of this show. I'm David Faber. His name is Jim Cramer. We're live from Post 9 at the New York Stock Exchange. Carl has the morning off. Let's give you a look at futures, of course, as Jim and I celebrate Hump Day, as we used to call it. You can take a look. What would you call that, Jim? I'd say it's a mixed, nothing open, right?
Yeah, I was called Pac West Day. How about that? You want to go right there? Right there. Yeah, we'll that day. I'll do anything you want.
You'll go anything.
Carvana Day.
Carvana Day. No, I don't want to call it Carvana Day.
First all right, let's day?
Fed Day. Our roadmap starts with today's Fed decision on interest rates. Both banking turmoil, of course, and inflation are the keys. Will policymakers call for a hike or a pause? On the earnings front, we got Nike beating analyst expectations with its quarterly results, but an inventory glut prompting the company to warn about its margins. And my favorite topic, of course, the AI arms race. You're going to want to hear what NVIDIA's CEO Jensen Huang told Jim about it during last night's Mad Money. Also got some interesting comments from Bill Gates.
Yeah, that was a very good article, actually. Really
yeah.
Good.
Let's get to the markets, though, and, of course, counting down to the Fed decision on rates. I kind of think I know where you are, but tell me, what are your expectations?
Look,
and what's the market going to do, by the way?
The 25, and that way it doesn't cause any sort of ripple, because just a week ago we're looking for half. Look, David, I think that we're looking at this all wrong.
Okay.
We're getting near the end of the tightening cycle. That's why I thought Jan Hatzius' piece on previous cycles, particularly the 1984 Continental Ruling cycle, resonated with me, which is that that was the top of that cycle, and you had to buy. Great buy.
The failure of Continental Illinois, is that what I just heard you say?
That was a very big
What was the interest rate cycle there?
Well, he had been raising, the real rate was around 10.
Yeah.
It was at 6. He just said, okay, we can't keep tightening. And what I think is interesting, David, is
that was Greenspan, right?
That was Volcker.
That was Volcker in 80, wasn't that
87? Yeah, it's just a great.
Oh, no, maybe Continental Illinois was
yeah, it was 84. Just
right.
I mean, I've got to tell you, some of the work that they're doing at Goldman on this is really quite good.
Yeah.
And I think that you can take a look at what they're talking about in terms of the bank term funding and how you understand that. But the most important thing was the 1984 Continental Illinois, where this was one where the Continental Illinois situation is rather enlightening.
Okay.
Because it was Volcker, and Volcker's a tough guy,
yep.
And Volcker had to pause. So I like it because it's a recognition that you had this situation in Penn Square, which was an oil bank, then Continental, which was one of the biggest banks in the country, got involved with the oil loans it didn't understand, and then it collapsed. And it happened rather suddenly, and it feels like this. Sudden, but was contained.
But contained.
Yeah.
And that was the pause.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at it, you say, wow, you know, that was, they kind of just stopped.
But wasn't Volcker already in the midst of lowering rates?
Yeah,
point,
well,
we
this
were
was
coming down, weren't
well,
we?
Yeah,
from
but
the
real rate was 10, okay, and he went to the rate lower after that. It's the May 84
all
transcript.
Right. But meanwhile, we're going to get 25 basis points today, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I mean, no, I shouldn't say definitely, but the idea is that do you want to rattle the whole world and say, listen, if you don't raise rates,
right? People get
well,
more
concerned.
Well, you
don't concerned. Have to say it. Well, it's he has to say, don't raise rates. And right. Say, like, okay, I'm selling every single regional bank. We don't want that.
No.
See, the FMC paused tightening in its May 84 meeting. Chairman Volcker arguing the Fed had, quote, run out of room for the time being for any tightening, given the situation. I think that Powell should use the exact same language as Volcker, the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
And then we know we're okay. Mm-hmm. Because imitating Volcker is never wrong.
No.
There you go. Right there. Just use the language of Jan Hatzius quoting Volcker.
Okay.
I'm telling you, there's some really good research being done that's being ignored by a bunch of banks that are saying, look, there's a way out of this situation, so don't panic.
It feels like we're almost getting our way out of this
exactly.
situation.
That's
I mean, again, as I've said every day now, First Republic is still potentially to be dealt with.
All right, so I'm going to ask you.
We can talk about it.
Why did they hire Lazard and McKinsey if they have JP Morgan? What
you know, you want? Listen, if there, you want as many ideas as you can get.
But you have Jamie Dimon
in creative.
Why do you need anyone else?
First of all, Jamie is one side of it, but then the banker, you know, Rivas at J.P. Morgan, who's dealing with it, is in the investment bank trying to advise as any investment banker would in terms of the potential opportunities available to them. Lazard, I would assume Orszag, maybe some other people over there helping to try to figure out what they can do.
A lot of time in Washington.
Yeah,
trying to figure out what to do. I know he thinks that. I've understood him to be able to say, listen, we need this thing to be, let's say, every bank has to be insured. Okay. Now, I don't know personally, but that's what I understand. David, this pound, we don't like have this problem.
You heard Blank Fine, though. Do we have that sound?
I don't know. Why don't we get
Blank
that?
Fine, you know, because he was not speaking, well, he almost was specifically about First Republic, but sort of generally speaking about what do you do with these banks whose cost of funds has gone up dramatically, and therefore they're really not in a position any longer to be able to make money or even make loans. Take a listen.
If these institutions are weak and will not make money because of the, you know, the cost of their funding versus what they can, you know, what they can get back on the other side, you know, I think that's what the resolution authority is. That's what the resolution authority is for.
And Jim, I just don't know when we get
there. Doesn't watch Mad Money. Yeah. Because I had Steinhauer on from H-Band, Huntington Bank, a super regional. He said, all that's untrue. Now you say, well, Jim, that's because he has more deposits insured than anybody else in regionals. But he's saying, no problem with gross margins. Still going to make a lot of money.
And that very well may be the case for Huntington, but I'm not sure it is the case for First Republic. Hence, in answering your question, you want to bring in as many people as you can to advise in as many different possibilities as you can to try to keep yourself going at First Republic.
Right, but there is a common perception.
Fill the hole in your balance sheet.
The earnings per share power of all these banks is going to be hurt, and I'm going to contest that.
Really?
Yeah, I am.
Isn't their cost of funds going up?
Well, that's what I'm debating, whether they're really going up or whether if we get through this.
Yesterday, you were talking to me about that deposits are still leaving. How could their cost of funds not be going up?
Because, you see, empirically, what happens is I listen when a good guy tells me that there's not as much problems at his bank and the stock is down. I want to question that.
All right, but
I've known Steinhauer for years.
Pacific Western Bank comes out with these further details, by the way, on its financial
strength. It's too early.
No, but here, they borrowed $10.4 billion from the discount window, okay? But my point here is, and $3.7 billion of borrowings from the Federal Home Loan Bank.
Well, from day one,
that's more expensive for them than paying you 1%
on
your savings.
No, that's true,
account.
But, you know, like, if we're going to just focus on a handful of banks that have been problematic, that's Continental Illinois. Meaning that, okay, because of this handful of banks, the Fed's hand has stayed, and you want to buy stocks. 1984 was an amazing time to buy stocks. I was with the largest investor, Continental Illinois, for dinner. Not that long before Continental Illinois. And
wait, what? 1984 you were?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. Where were you working then?
I was on my own trading in my
in your pajamas.
Dorm. My dorm.
Yeah.
No, I was always, I had feet pajamas.
No, you actually wore a tie back then, I assume.
Wore a Brioni suit. Not. I had a Marshall's outfit, corduroy jacket. Went to work with Goldman they said, here's $500. Go to Mo Ginsburg. I repeated that story.
You went to dinner with what?
When
with you
the were large shareholder.
Where were you, in law school?
Yeah, I know. It was pretty crazy. And he didn't see it coming. So, I mean, it's possible. Things happen pretty quickly.
They do.
I told him I thought he was going to be in trouble.
So getting back
laughed at me.
Getting back to the theme here.
It's really wild.
What is the theme?
The theme is that we want a couple of banks to, we want to have an 84 scenario where one or two banks causes the Fed to stop and then the party begins. And what I'm saying is that you can say, like PacWest. Now, David, until 2 weeks ago, I thought PacWest was a packaging company. It's like WestRock spinoff, okay? I didn't really care about it. I cared about First Republic because we had a lot of ads about it and because it was Safra Bank, okay? And then we had these really fancy people run in and say, listen, I got a vineyard, I bank at First Republic.
Yep.
And I cared about Silicon Valley Bank because it was a merchant bank.
Okay.
It seemed like the
But you don't care about PacWest still, or what?
PacWest has Apollo. They've called Atlas
SP Partners.
They have Apollo.
Right.
Apollo was
they came in
fire.
For $1.4 billion in fully funded cash proceeds.
Right. And I'm not going to go against Apollo, for heaven's sake.
Okay. All right. Now, the market right now is not
reacting
positively.
Apollo may be overextended. I don't know. We can say, I said last night that we can sit up here and say whatever we want. I don't care. I want to know deposit inflow and deposit outflow. Jamie Dimon, a group of banks, put money in a First Republic. What happened? It's just like... Where'd it go?
Nothing. It's on deposit at First Republic.
Well, why do they need more help if they had all this money come in?
Because it potentially wasn't enough. It's not addressing the asset side of the balance sheet.
Right.
And they have negative equity. So, again, I go back to the idea that if you can't really run the business the way it's supposed to because your cost of funds is so much higher, what do you do? It's what Blank Fund was talking about.
Well,
there are things you can do. Again, maybe you are able to take some of these assets, move them out of the bank, capitalize them in some way, give those who provide the capital warrants, and get back to lending and operating as you did previously. I don't know.
Smaller to medium-sized businesses, like the law firms in town, the LLCs, the charities, they need to see a higher than $250,000 threshold, which I think FDIC can do. And then the FDIC should actually let you insure, self-insure. Because if you want to have $25 million in a regional bank, you got to go get a couple of basis points insurance. So you can't trust the regional bank, although the FDIC has all the data they need about the regional bank and what the basis point should be. I am offering a solid solution. I think that Lloyd did not.
Okay.
Meanwhile, I mean, it's good to be Lloyd, kind of not unlike...
is it?
Well, when you're at the Overlook Hotel, it sure is.
Where's that?
Stephen King, this movie.
Oh, the Overlook Hotel is from The Shining.
No, it's Jack Nicholson, Jack Torrance.
Yeah. I have no idea. No idea.
Okay. No.
And you know what? Jensen Huang, when he speaks, I probably have no idea either. But we're going to find out what he said about AI to Jim, because Jim understands him. And all those very difficult concepts that he's discussing. He was on Mad Money last night, called it an iPhone moment.
Yeah.
The introduction
so
of
Bill
AI.
Gates. It's not just Jensen.
Gates' blog post I did read and understood most of that.
Cool.
All right, let's take a look at futures, of course. We got an opening about less than 19 minutes from now. More Squawk on the Street straight ahead.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who'll serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had? Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves? Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's.
1 in 8 start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
You seek the key. But first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system up to a 313-mile range and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
NVIDIA upping the ante in the AI arms race. Yesterday at its developer conference, the company unveiled a set of cloud services focusing on generative AI. And last night on Mad Money, NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang spoke about the AI phenomenon.
It could be deployed in so many different ways, as Microsoft and Google has just demonstrated. It's connected directly into the most popular applications in the world, Office and Google Docs. These are the most pervasive office automation productivity applications in the world. And now it's going to enhance those. And so this is a brand new computing platform, a new computing model. And that's the reason why I call it the iPhone moment of AI.
All right, Jim, now's your chance to try to explain to us what was the most important part of his presentation
first,
that we've been
Arora,
waiting for?
Nikesh Arora from...
Nikesh Arora was the most
Palo
important
Alto.
Part
no,
of it?
He claims that he was the one.
All right. What was the most important part of this?
All right. I think it was about teaching. That Jensen's most excited about the idea that you can kind of upend our whole educational system and make it so individuals can be taught individually about how to learn quantum physics, as he mentioned, or how to learn chemistry. It's about equalizing the country. And I think that that is one of, as you would know, David, because we often talk about the public school system, this would be something that would make everyone smarter, and that would be democratic in nature, and it would be fantastic. Secondarily, I think there are things that we would do in healthcare. I asked him, I said, my mom died of kidney cancer. Could we just ask it how to solve kidney cancer? Not yet.
Right.
It's still not smarter than we are, but it's catching up.
It's getting there. It's
do you see how
there.
It didn't? Now, Gates talked about how it didn't
Gates
AP Bio.
Gates talked, though, about those two outcomes as well, education, healthcare, how important it can be. I mean, the first part of Gates's
it's a good essay.
Blog or essay. The development of AI is as fundamental as the creation of the microprocessor.
Yeah, he goes with
the
Intel.
The computer, the internet, and the mobile phone. It will change the way people work, learn, travel, get health care, and communicate with each other. Entire industries will reorient around it. Businesses will distinguish themselves by how well they use it.
Right. So you have a bunch of different companies that are allied. A lot of what he was talking about yesterday, Jensen, was about how there are different companies that really are into this. Microsoft's really into it, and they're going to be a great partner. Oracle's a great partner. He didn't emphasize so much in my interview about the partnerships. He talked much more about the idea of wonderment, that there was this moment. I mean, he showed me exactly this stuff almost a year ago, and nobody was interested.
I know, but talked about it. It was hard to understand exactly what it was or how it would work.
Well, it's because I was not.
But he's now talking about factories that will be completely automated, run essentially.
Well, I mean,
by AI.
I asked him, do you need us? He said, yes, we're still important.
Yep.
But there are a lot of jobs that are done better right now. But it is getting smarter and smarter and smarter. Now, I am sure he actually talked about how there's OpenAI's got a lot of guidelines and ways, rules to be able to guard against some of the things that you were talking about, because I asked him about that.
Well, I mean, Bill Gates also, I always like, you know, sort of towards the end.
Yeah, that was good. His
conclusion
was good.
There's the possibility that AIs will run out of control, wrote Mr. Gates. Could a machine decide that humans are a threat, conclude that its interests are different from ours, or simply stop caring about us? Possibly.
Well, I mean, you still have to ask it things. It will be part of our regular discourse.
For now, you have to ask
it things. The main thing, I mean, let's just back up.
But eventually,
coding has been the single biggest, I think, problem in our society. You either know how to code, and therefore you can get a good job, or you don't know how to code. By the way, Lawson at Twilio explained that to me.
Right.
You just simply have to learn how to code. This is the end of that. That's why it's equal. You can ask it something. I can ask it something. Someone who hasn't gone to graduate school.
At the center of it, but so many of these leaders in AI ultimately say that we're going to need the government to figure out what is allowable, so to speak, and what isn't. Guidelines, rules of the road. It seems hard to imagine a government's going to be able to do that. And by the way, our government is going to have a very different approach than the Chinese government. I mean, Gates again writing
but
here,
once
developers can generalize a learning algorithm and run it at the speed of a computer, an accomplishment that could be a decade away or a century away, we'll have an incredibly powerful AGI. We'll be able to do everything that a human brain can, but without any practical limits on the size of its memory or the speed at which it operates, this will be a profound change.
Well, I just think that all you have to do is think, what Jensen said, is every single industry should be examining right now what to do.
Yes.
And he says that's precisely what's happening. So you have to understand, by the way, their lead is just so ridiculous versus everybody else.
NVIDIA's lead.
Yes, that the microprocessor is a very good and kind of ironic development that Gates talked about, because the opening of the unbelievable keynote was the burying of Moore's Law. And Gordon Moore founded Intel, and he just said, look, there's no more advantage to shrinking the footprint. And it's also too hot. It's not sustainable. So let's just scrap Intel. Scrap it. And it's just amazing. That's how we start. Did not mention Intel. We talked about how the way that we've shrunk microprocessors is over. And it's been a big gating factor for mentally.
Right.
Because most people think, well, let's get the new iteration of Intel. And he's saying, forget that. That's just wrong. Nobody cares anymore. Forget it. Very threatening to Intel. But not what he's thinking about, because he's thinking much bigger.
The reason why NVIDIA has a $650 billion market value and Intel has a far, far, far smaller.
Well, I mean, a lot of people sold Intel. A lot of people sold Intel and NVIDIA down all the way. I mean, NVIDIA, take a look where it was.
I know.
Because people felt it was a gaming card company. How could they have been so wrong? I was screaming every day this morning, but no one listened. I was a still small voice in the wilderness.
Still small voice in the wilderness. People miss your poetry sometimes,
I think. Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, coming up, we're going to get Cramer's Mad Dash. We're counting down to the opening bell. Let's give you one more look at futures. We don't want you to miss the fact that, hey,
don't forget PacWest, the most important bank in the world. Name me where PacWest is. I'll give you four different cities.
Well, I can just look on their press release and find out where it is. It's in Los Angeles.
Oh, my God.
Let's walk in the street when we come back.
Thank heavens.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
7 minutes before we get started with trading here at the New York Stock Exchange. Let's talk a little GameStop in the Mad Dash, shall we?
All right, so what are we convinced that you need to do if you're anything technology or retail? You have to cut your costs and you have to grow your revenues. That's what GameStop did. Now, some people say, well, listen, it was leisure amount. No, they actually sold a lot of goods. They had great console sales. They closed a lot of underperforming stores and improved profitability. Matt Furlong with a terrific, terrific statement. No questions taken. I know people think that there's an inventory issue. I'm not seeing that. But I understand why it's up 52%, and I think it can go higher.
You do. There were always real questions about the fundamental stability of this business, Jim. Long before it became the meme stock.
Well, but David, if they
many people were questioning, many of the analysts who followed the company, whether they could sustain themselves.
Well, I'm surprised the console sales are so strong. I know console sales were just okay at Best Buy, but they're doing some collectibles that are doing well. Look, there's not enough.
I mean, look, that's where it was before right?
Well, so it's sketchy. We don't know about the inventory position. We don't know about the NFTs. We don't know about anything other than what Matt Furlong said, but the balance sheet is terrific.
It is.
Yeah, it's terrific.
Well, they were able to repair the balance sheet a bit.
Stuff.
Yeah.
You know, look, it is a bit of a textbook about how to save an ailing retailer versus, say, Bed Bath & Beyond, which is not the textbook.
Well, you would say that none of this had anything to do with them saving it? I was going to go back to the meme craze.
Well,
Weren't they able to actually secure certain amount of
Bed Bath, but that
no,
was like,
no, no. They helped the balance sheet as a result of the stock running up.
I mean, no, they helped the balance sheet tremendously.
Yes.
And they took advantage of the fact that the stock was much higher.
Yes.
They did it. All I'm saying is that was unique.
That wasn't like
It's a very better run company than a lot of people thought.
Okay.
Now, is it one quarter only? I don't know. We don't have the K. Kind of hard to figure out. But I will tell you this, David. It was, and there are no analyst questions, it was a surprisingly up on the top line and the bottom line. So, I mean, you can say, well, that's the last one of many, but I'm just, first now, just reveling in the idea that they pulled it off. And this Matt Furlong, I invite him on Mad Money. I was impressed.
Matt Furlong is the CEO and president of GameStop.
And it was very impressive. Okay. A very impressive comeback.
All right. And you saw it's obviously having an impact on all those other so-called meme names. We got an opening bell a few minutes away. You can catch us, of course, anytime, anywhere. Listen to and follow the Squawk on the Street Opening Bell podcast. We're back after this. All right, let's get to shares of Nike, which look like they're moving lower in the pre-market.
Yeah, but every analyst reiterated. Yeah. David, we always have this. Boy, that call was not a great Nike call in that it just talked about a couple of hot shoes and then talked about inventory. But China's strong. They're doing quite well in basketball. People want to keep the stock down, in part because they had such a big run ahead. But, David, in the end, Nike is so loved by Wall Street, they can't help themselves. The buyers will be in buying it aggressively.
I mean, upgraded to overweighted Barclays. UBS raises their price target. Jefferies raises the price target. Evercore has a tactical outperform initiation. All on Nike.
They're all raised. Piper raised. Jefferies raised. Evercore tackle outperformed. BMO rated. I mean, come on. Siebel, Wedbush, JP Morgan. And the stock's down. How long can that last?
I don't know.
Wall Street loves Nike.
I guess we have big board water technology company, Xylem at the NASDAQ. Oculus, a biopharma focused on eye care, celebrated its recent listing.
David, we haven't talked Meta. We have not talked Meta yet.
All right, let's talk Meta.
We got another Meta upgrade.
Okay.
And I've got to tell you, all the Meta upgrades have the same quality about them, which is that there is now a return to growth so that the big layoffs are going to have a giant impact on the bottom line. This is from Key. I thought it was very solidly reasoned. I know, David, yesterday you said, well, where were these guys?
Well, it was Morgan Stanley, and they only went to an outperform yesterday and obviously missed a 65% move in the stock price this year. So, yeah, I did wonder
that. Better late than never?
Maybe. But you cited the fact that they saw revenue growth, and now you're saying that another analyst is also talking about revenue growth.
This time it's CPM. That would mean that they might have gotten around the Apple problems.
Okay.
And that would be really breakthrough. I know, by the way, if you want to know who is doing the best work in education and Meta with Jensen Huang from NVIDIA, I'm going to tell you it's Mark Zuckerberg.
Okay.
Tremendous partnership there. Resulting in, if you go to Metaverse, you can learn more. I mean, now I know it's just inconceivable to many people that Mark would be doing something that just sounds like it's kind of altruistic, not unlike the Nico Tinbergen work about turns, the breakthrough altruistic work where birds actually of a family help each other.
Yes.
It's really Nico Tinbergen.
You got to look at Tinbergen.
Some breakthrough work.
Thank you.
It actually collides with Darwin. It says that Darwin isn't right. What it says is that birds are altruistic in certain birds.
I see.
And I'm saying that Mark Zuckerberg
is
a certain bird.
Is a bird.
Well,
I see.
Well, I mean in a positive way.
Of course you do.
I just think that...
I don't believe it.
You don't believe me at all?
No, I don't believe it.
Well, I think you're going to be proved sorely wrong.
I don't believe it.
You're going to go to the Metaverse.
And by the way, what do I care if he's altruistic or not? Is he going to make money?
Well, no, that's the point, is that he's not just about avarice. He may be more altruistic.
Well, remember, you're a dollar sign masquerading as a man.
I've never contested anything else since 84 when I knew the Continental Door was going to fail.
What our viewers want to know is Meta going up or down?
It's going up.
Are they
going
to earn more money?
No, it's going up because what we're discovering is that they've figured out how to make money, even though there was this disenfranchising by Apple. In the meantime, it now sells at 18 times earnings, but I'm going to tell you that I think that the PE is too low and that the numbers are going to be there. When you, David...
And this time you're not getting taken, right? You're confident.
Well, interesting you mentioned taking, because at this point I do have a particular set of skills that will be a nightmare like him if this thing goes down. Good luck.
Okay.
Well, what else, David? Come on, let's go to the stuff that you're talking about.
What else do you want to talk about? Dealt with Nike officially?
I want to talk about the idea of what analysts do.
Okay.
Okay, so Nike is the growth name in the group, but there's one stock that's been overlooked that is a traditional growth name. And that boss is telling you that Lulu is for real. Now, I know this piece out the other day says that Lulu, it's too negative. But Lulu being for real ahead of when they're going to report, I think this could be a very gutsy call by Matt Boss, 328, March 28th. The stock is way down. Way down.
Okay.
I think Lulu inches its way higher, step by step, inch by inch, until it gets to very close to, I'd say, 330, and then you can still buy it. It's a very good situation.
It is.
Because everyone's so negative about it.
And why are they negative?
Well, because it missed the last quarter.
Yes.
Well, you know, a miss is kind of not good. Do you know that we haven't even talked about the real partners of Jensen and NVIDIA?
Let's talk about them.
Adobe.
Well, Adobe had an introduction yesterday of its own AI-related product.
We had Shantanu Narayan on.
Right, Shantanu.
And Shantanu is saying, what's the quickest way to do this? The one people always want to know, who's going to be outmoded? Well, if you use Adobe and NVIDIA, you will be able to write copy. Chat writes better copy, okay?
Yes.
And do pictures. And use it and marry it with the Adobe Commerce system. David, the advertising world's the first to be, let's say, leveled by this.
What does leveled mean? Does that mean a lot of jobs will be lost and replaced by automation?
Yes, but the profitability will really soar. Because it's just, you can tell it what you're trying to say. It will put it in a better way than you can. Mm-hmm. You can tell it what it needs to look like. And they've made a deal with Getty Images. So There is no need.
Although Adobe has access to a lot of its own images as well. They don't even need it.
Right, but I'm just saying that the first, if you want to know tomorrow what I think industry is going to change, advertising. Even faster than call center. I thought it would be call center. I also thought it would be drive-through window. It's going to be advertising. Because it already writes better copy than humans when it comes to...
Which is interesting, and I've made this point a number of times, but there was an expectation that the rise of AI really would replace more, automated tasks, not things that are considered creative.
So did I, and that's what was so amazing about this concept.
And yet, you would think writing ad, this is a creative-related business.
Well, I don't know if
what you're telling me is it may very well replace it.
I don't know. Does it go to Winston taste good like a cigarette should? I don't know. I mean, I remember that from like 55 years ago.
Right.
But I will tell you this. In terms of copy, it's been shown to have kind of snazzier, better copy. Now, copy is not like Shakespeare. Okay? No. It can't write Shakespeare. Although I once asked Jensen to have it write Shakespeare, what Shakespeare would sound like. It's much easier to have a Cezanne
seascape. By the way, speaking of Shakespeare, the bard... should note that Alphabet has come out with its own chatbot Bard that it is now introduced.
Right.
Not in a full fashion, but,
no, but
you can experiment with it now.
The analysts are buying into it.
They're
just, because they all want to, come on.
But the key question remains how much this disintermediates their own search and how it will be incorporated with it.
Well,
the
no
way
one
that
seems
Bing
to know.
Is obviously incorporating ChatGPT. And what it's going to mean for their
count them out.
Dominance in search.
Can't count them out. But if you want to know what stock is the most depressed that Jensen mentioned, it's Medtronic on the device side.
How did you move from Microsoft to Medtronic?
Well, I'm talking about winners.
And Alphabet
the winners,
to Medtronic.
Because I'm saying Medtronic is a winner and Adobe are winners. Those are two winners from the keynote that nobody listened to except for me, I guess. 78 minutes. You can zip right through it because Jensen's spellbinding. It's one of the most spellbinding speeches I've ever heard.
This was, again, the speech that we've been talking about and focusing people on for quite some time.
Well, he's just smarter than all of us. He just has a different way of thinking. It's very creative. It's really a joy. And it's pixie-ish. And he's just whip smart. And everyone can learn from it.
All right. All that being said, is an 82% move in the stock over less than 3 months warranted?
Yes.
Or has this thing gotten ahead of itself?
No.
No?
It hasn't because the gross margins on this stuff is just unbelievable. And remember, the stock was, if you go back to last year or this week, the stock was $291. So I think the answer is it's not done. David, if it affects every vertical, and you have to use their cards, and you need thousands of their cards, and they have all the iterations all set for you, then why shouldn't it be big? Particularly because you don't need traditional microprocessors when you listen. It was mellifluous, spellbinding. It was incredible.
Apple and Microsoft now represent 13.3% of the S&P.
How do you like that?
Just two companies.
I know.
And I mentioned that because we didn't mention Apple yesterday, and I mentioned it today because we're 38 minutes into the show, and we haven't mentioned Apple yet at all.
Yeah,
it just feels like that's wrong.
I haven't read a single positive.
A 2.5
not a single positive analyst piece. Not a single positive. Not one positive. But if you extrapolate Nike, now you're going to say, Jim, why are you doing that? I'm trying to use data points. If you extrapolate how strong Nike was in China this quarter, I'm willing to take the leap of faith and say that it's entirely possible that Apple iPhone is doing better.
Okay.
The bullishness of Tim Cook on that last call has completely been overlooked by the idea that there's been some channel check that's probably completely bogus that says it's not selling well, and then another group of people saying, well, listen, there's no new iteration, there's nothing really exciting about the iPhone, as they make full-scale movies on it. One of the things I have on today, I don't know if you know on, O-N-O-N, these guys are unbelievable. Should be
on
up again.
Semi.
Yeah, it's up again. No. They got that away. They have on Holdings. It's the shoe company, the really cool shoes.
I'm sorry.
I have them on today.
I thought maybe you were talking about that.
And it was very interesting because at one point their conference call broke down. So they said, listen, we're doing this. We're just passing around our iPhone. So we don't even need the people who do our. This was a great conference call. It's like, here, it's your turn, my turn. David, they did their whole conference call on an iPhone. But nobody cares. Nobody cares. These guys are the smartest guys. They just signed up the number one woman tennis player. Amazing.
I don't. What?
No.
What are you talking? What? iPhone? You went to a sneaker company?
No, I'm saying that tonight? When I was on the Allen Holdings call, and they did just get the ON.com site. You can go there. It's really cool. They said that I'm talking about new uses of the iPhone that happen every day that the analysts don't seem to understand.
So we're still talking about Apple in a way.
Yeah, in the middle of their call, it broke down, the conference call. So they were able to patch it into their iPhone. Well, that, you know, what's that worth? I mean, I'm just saying that people keep coming up with new ways to deal with this, but
that's all
the
I
analysts,
needed.
Except for the analysts.
That's all I needed.
The analysts love Nike as much as they hate Apple,
They
love Nike
context.
As much as they hate Apple.
And now I understand what it is you were talking about and why you went from Apple to a sneaker company. Thank you. All right, I want to talk about antitrust in the UK briefly.
Oh, no, you're going. Are you going Broadcom? Are you going VMware?
Yes, Broadcom,
all right,
VMware. This is not unexpected. Remember this deal. God, when was this deal announced, actually? I'm going to go back. May 26th of 2022.
Wow.
Broadcom obviously announced this, acquiring VMware at the time. It was 50-50 split, 142.50 in cash or 0.2520 shares. Let's see what's happened since then. But
nothing.
They're going to get a nasty second request, so to speak, from the CMA. Not unexpected. There's the quote from the CMA's executive director. Remember, this is the UK Antitrust Authority. We've talked a lot about them lately because, of course, they play such an important role in whether Microsoft is going to be able to prevail in its hopes of actually closing its deal to acquire Activision. Here's what they said about Broadcom. They're concerned that it could cut out competitors from the supply of hardware components to the server market and lead to less innovation at a time when most firms want fast, responsive, and affordable IT systems. It's now up to Broadcom to respond to our concerns or face a more in-depth investigation. Again, not unexpected, but when we come to the CMA and Microsoft and Activision, remember that Activision shares have actually moved up of late. It's sort of this vague sense that, you know, maybe Microsoft's going to figure out a way to turn these guys, as I had said when the CMA came out with his objections and seriously indicated that behavioral remedies would not be enough to sway it, that it was mostly dead. But there is still signs of life. You can see it in the stock price. Nonetheless, while I am told Microsoft has provided the CMA all the tools that it needs to approve a transaction, there is still that question, Jim, as to whether the CMA's ideology on behavioral remedies, namely they don't like them, will be hard to overcome.
Well,
and that's kind of where that remains, but I did want to mention this other deal, which we haven't talked about that
well,
often.
Well, if you go to Hock-Tan's original announcement and when he's CEO of Broadcom, he told me that this deal would not be, is not expected to close until October 31st, 2023. So let's not lose sight of the fact that
they gave
he understood.
A long timeline to begin with.
Right. Hock-Tan is famously known as a very tough guy who has indeed alienated some customers at times. So perhaps, David, there are some people in there trying to stop this deal.
There may be. Although we know in the case of Activision, for example, Sony has been the, without a doubt, just hammering away.
So, David, let's say you're this commission in Britain.
Yeah.
You're obviously taking seriously comments by other companies that I don't think used to be cared about as much
would.
As they are now.
No, I know, but there is a belief that they're ideologically driven at the CMA to the same extent that perhaps our regulators here in the United States are. However, here you have the opportunity to appeal to a court.
Right.
Over there, they almost have veto power. Once they go, that's it.
And David, it's not much you can mention do. That because you schooled me on this and that I'll say, well, listen, justice is going to block it. And they get the right judge. Justice loses. Right judge meaning a judge who doesn't see violations everywhere.
Right. And the thing is, the antitrust laws here have not really changed. The interpretation by the FTC and the DOJ may have.
But I think when two airlines merge, that's become one of these things where people feel that Obama's administration let too many deals
made some mistakes there in allowing for further consolidation of the airline industry. Jim, let's come back to the banks. And obviously, we are going to hear from the Fed. Where are we? It's a little more than 4 hours from now. First Republic shares yesterday were up sharply. They're down a bit today.
Well,
and you know, again, market participants want to keep coming back to that name. Why? Well, it's a $3 billion market cap. It's nothing.
But it's
got
for
a $200 billion balance sheet, and it's still seen as sort of the final, the hope being that this will be the resolution of this this crisis, mini crisis, as I've called it. Some have taken issue with that, but
well, if you go back 3 weeks, they're speaking with the bank. If you go back 3 weeks, their even 2 weeks ago, their belief that this was not even an issue because of sticky deposits and not to worry makes this such a fraught area to opine on. Yep. Because in my talks with the company, the one thing I kept hearing over and over again were trusted advisors. And trusted advisors, money is very sticky because of trusted advisors.
Right.
And obviously that was not the case. It wasn't sticky.
No. And we do have a bit of a turnaround. Again, we've had strong performance from these names generally. Yesterday, the day prior, First Republic was down sharply, but the rest of the group was up.
Huntington Bank, I mean, I just interviewed them yesterday. Again, they have the most insurance per deposit. You know, they've got the highest base. Yield's 5.5. And I don't want to recommend any of these because we all will be remembered as recommending them. But I think a basket of these, what I'm putting together for Mad Money, is the way to go. I'm creating an ETF, and then someone will steal it and not pay me a dime. And you know what? I don't care. Not unlike Agent Sam Girard, of course, in that seminal scene.
And we did hear from PacWest earlier in the morning saying we don't need to raise new capital at this time. That stock's getting hit. It's a small,
there you go,
again,
David,
we're talking tiny market caps.
No, but the idea, when you say
have much larger,
that you don't need to raise capital in the parlance of J.P. Morgan, not Jamie's J.P. Morgan, but the original J.P. Morgan, it means you need to raise capital.
It's the same way that when everybody, from Credit Suisse is frantically calling me one morning last week, it's too late.
Jay Gould.
It's too late.
Two words, Jay Gould.
Too late. You're crying me. When your guys are all waking me up at 6 in the morning, 5 in the morning.
Read American Rascal, and you'll be able to, and I'll tell you exactly what funeral you're being invited to when this stuff happens.
As a reminder, you can get in on the CNBC Investing Club with Jim. Sign up, find out more, cnbc.com/join the club, or point your phone at the QR code on the screen. It will take you right.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome. Let's do a quick bond report for you. Of course, we got the Fed. Expectations are for a 25 basis point hike in interest rates. Will it be the last for some time? Of course, continues to be a key question. We will get that press conference. There's a look at the two-year note at 4.210. We're back after this. There are your gainers thus far in the session on the S&P, led by, that name again. Actually, those two names. Those are the two names I most associate with Jim Cramer now.
Well, thank you very much. Video. I appreciate that.
And Advanced Micro.
Then I must be doing something right.
Bath and Body Works. I don't know why that's up. You?
What, Bath and Body Works? No, I don't know. Raw Stores got recommended. Yeah.
All right, we're back after this. What do you got for stop trading?
All right, we should talk housing. Okay. We had housing starts up, but we had the first time decline in, admittedly, this is February, it's 0.2, but first time since 2012. And yet we have Wolf still saying, hey, listen, buy Pulte. The reason why I think it's interesting, David, is you know what you should be selling at this point in the cycle is the home builders. But rates drop a little bit and the buyers come right back. So be aware that so far the Fed would like to see more numbers for price declines than we've had just 1 month, which is a reason why you should keep tight.
It's a reason why you, right. Yeah, now we have to
your point.
There was a price decline. It's the first one we've seen.
Right, but I'm saying.
And year over year, it's not insignificant.
If you're the Fed, you probably want to say, I want to really knock this out. So it's, there's just.
Well, you've also talked about not just that, but also wage inflation.
It's not better. It's not better yet. But you know what I talked about with Jensen Huang? This is a long-term issue for labor in this country.
The rise of artificial intelligence.
You could easily make it so that I believe, and I said this to him, that we would not have a labor shortage. And he agreed that there are so many things that can be done, including, by the way, we talked about bank examiners. How you would have detected instantly that there was a run on the bank at Silicon if you just had software that's run by NVIDIA. Look at that.
Although I'm not sure when you deem it a run on the bank. By then it's still too late.
Well, no, he said it would flash.
It's not clear to me.
He said it would flash. The moment there'd be a downtick, it would flash. It would be faster. Right now, if you go read that excellent piece in the journal today, it says the bank examiners could not keep up.
I know, but I'm not sure it would have mattered. Once it's begun, it's so hard to stop.
You could have detected unusual activity.
Mm. All right, what do you got on tonight? I know you got a sneaker company.
I have On.
On.
Which, by the way, listen, don't laugh. ONN is the hottest sneaker company in the world. And if I worked at Nike at this very moment.
Two of them?
Well, yeah, it's a partnership there. It's Roger Federer, by the way.
Martin and Mark are both coming on.
If I were worried, now Nike's coming up. I told you,
what,
Nike's
what do you need to have two guys on? Can't both just one of them be on?
Because they're a partnership. They like each other. I don't know. It's a good call. But Nike will be up. But on, if I were Nike, I would not be worried about Adidas. Not be worried about Under Armour.
They need two people to run the sneaker company?
Well, they do tennis and they do running.
Oh, so we got a CEO for tennis.
But if I were Nike right now, if I were Donahoe, I would be so worried about this one.
Really?
You have to get, there's a line to get into the Regent store in London. There's no line to get into Nike stores. David, if I were Nike, I'd be shaking. I'd be kind of like Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah.
I'd be shaking, boss.
I'll see you later. Coming up. What are we going to do when it comes to rates? That's what the Fed, at least, is. Well, they probably already made that decision, haven't they? We'll find out 4 hours from now. Keep it here.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.